Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. We head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline as we get to say hello to our good friend John McClain of the Houston Chronicle. Covers the National Football League and a fantastic follow on Twitter at McClain_on_NFL. John, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Thank you for letting me move to Friday.
Yes, sir. Glad to hear that things in your neck of the woods improved, or I should say at least where you were spending your time improved greatly. You go from no power, no water to hanging out on a boat in Florida. So that's a step up. You could be a senator, couldn't you?
No, well, I didn't come here when, like Ted Cruz, I didn't leave town when things were bad. We lost power for 4 days. We got it back on Thursday, and then we came over here for a trip we had scheduled on Sunday. And so I'm working at our home in Fort Myers, but I'll be glad to get back to Houston because, you know, there's no place like home, and what everybody went through the last week was pretty unprecedented, and I've been there since 1976.
Wow. I want to ask you about J.J. Watt. Where does he end up?
Jimmy, J.J.'s being recruited for the first time in his life. He was not recruited coming out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He walked on at Central Michigan as a tight end. Then he was a two-star recruit. So he's enjoying the attention. Tom Condon, his agent, he lives in Nashville. He's the one fielding all the offers. I'd be surprised until they know what the salary cap is if he signed before that. There's a lot of teams interested. I don't see in Pittsburgh, he'd have to take almost the minimum salary to play with his brothers, and they don't really need a defensive end. They've got their defensive line set. Green Bay, yes. Tennessee, yes. Baltimore, where they have three linemen and pass rushers in their 3-4, set to be unrestricted. I think Tampa Bay would be a dark horse. Buffalo and Cleveland are after him. I still think Tennessee is a marriage made in heaven. They need pass rushers. They would have to do some manipulating with their salary cap, but where there's a will, there's a way. He and Mike Vrabel are really tight. He and Shane Bowen, defensive coordinator, was in Houston. They're really good friends. And with 19 sacks on an 11-5 team, they need help on that defense, especially pass rush, and White can still play. So I have made them my favorite.
Do you think that the offer that the Cowboys made to Dak Prescott last year was a fair offer, and do you think he'll eventually depart Dallas?
I don't even remember what it was, Jimmy. They said it was based on years. He wanted five. They wanted four. Which
no,
is
it was the opposite.
Ridiculous.
He wanted four. They wanted five.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Which is kind of ridiculous.
$34.5 million.
And you could franchise him when it's up again. So I think it was ridiculous because now to franchise him a second time is going to be $37 million. And I think if they don't get it worked out and they franchise him a second time, he's gone after next season because they're not going to franchise him a third time because, again, it's up to like $50 million. He'll do like Kirk Cousins, who told him the franchise tag can be your friend. And I believe next year he would be 29 and unrestricted.
Our guest, John McClain of the Houston Chronicle. John, as you mentioned, a lot of folks have been just finding a hard way when it comes to not only Houston, but so many places in the state of Texas. What was it like to see the Titans join the Colts and Jaguars, the AFC South opponents, to donate to the Houston Recovery Fund?
That was a very classy move by those three teams. Another reason I think Jay Watts could go to Tennessee, when he started his Hurricane Harvey relief campaign, other than the McNair family, the first person to step up and donate money was Titans owner Amy Adams Strunk. She gave him $1 million. Now, she lives outside Houston, so she was in the middle of all that. And she likes him a lot, and he likes her. And it just seems they got so much in common there. That is where he should go. But I thought the AFC South stepping up like that, like a lot of players around the country who stepped up for the state of Texas, whether they play in Texas or they came for Texas, they're just doing nice things for a lot of people that need it. And even though it's hot as heck, there's still a lot of people that don't have water.
what do you think, and we certainly wish the very best for them and that things can get as close to back on track as soon as possible, but we just have seen so much quarterback-related drama. There's obviously what's going on with the Texans and Deshaun Watson, but what do you think in terms of just the noise that's coming out of the Pacific Northwest surrounding Russell Wilson?
Well, it's Russell Wilson, and then there's Aaron Rodgers, and then there's Ben Roethlisberger, and then Matthew Stafford wanted to be traded, so he's traded for Jared Goff. I used to say knowledge is power. Now money is power. And here's what I think is going to happen in Seattle. He's looking for a new contract or contract extension. If money is the only issue, you can take care of it. I think he will come out of this with a contract extension. The last one he did made him the highest paid quarterback in history, but now Russell Wilson's fallen far behind. The Texans just wish that it was money. They gave Deshaun Watson $156 million extension 6 months ago, and he was so happy he cried. Now, when he gets traded, he'll be so happy he cries. And it's amazing. The NFL doesn't want it to be like the NBA, where a couple of agents dictate where players go and who wins and who loses. For the most part, they do not want the players and the agents running the NFL like they do in baseball, which is run by the union, and NBA, which is run by the players in the union, players and the agents.
So how do you stop that from happening?
You could say to Deshaun Watson, we love you. We negotiated in good faith. We're not trading you. Mm-hmm. And you can retire. And so he would sit out and lose millions and millions and millions, and then he would report just enough games to get credit for the season. Then he could do it again next year. And why do you want to deal with that? I wrote a column for Sunday since he did a Zoom call with their new coach, David Culley. And he told Culley why he wanted to be traded. Culley told him their plan for returning to the playoffs, he being the centerpiece. And he said, no, I want out. I think now that the general manager, Nick Caserio, should start listening to all those teams that are calling about Watson, and he should zero in on the only two that are realistic, the Jets with the second overall pick and the Dolphins with the third overall pick, and both of them could offer quarterbacks, Sam Darnold and Tua Tagovailoa, and if they made the trade with the Jets, they could take the second-best quarterback prospect in the draft behind Trevor Lawrence, and so then you can move on with your rebuild. I can't imagine without Watson, with so much controversy the Texans have, that they can sell suites and club seats and sponsorships and season tickets. And they need something for fans and media to bite into. Well, if you traded Watson, everybody'd be mad, but they don't want to do it. But if they explain why they did it and they moved on with a new quarterback and a bunch of draft choices, I outlined a scenario for Sunday of how they could have five of the top 67 picks in a trade with the Dolphins and Tua Tagovailoa and then get something in 2022 as well.
What are the chances Big Ben remains in Pittsburgh?
I believe, Jimmy, that Ben will be in Pittsburgh. I do not see them starting over with another quarterback. I also don't see him starting over with another team at his age. Phillip Rivers did it. He played 1 year and retired. And Roethlisberger said he wants to go into his 40s.
So the Texans release Duke Johnson. The Titans release Adam Humphries. Do you think with the salary cap we're going to see a lot more players being released as teams trying to meet the salary cap?
Absolutely. And even when they're not meeting the salary cap, Texans were already under it, but they're rebuilding. They have a new general manager and coach. So they're going to make a lot of moves like that. And for some of these guys that make X amount of money, you can sign two free agents cheaper. If you've got money in the salary cap with the pool that we're expected to see, you can get veterans cheaper than any time in history. That's why they want to get the network television done before free agency starts on March 17th so the cap can be larger. Like they're saying it'll top out at 182. I bet it's at least 185, but still, ordinarily, it would have gone from 198 to about 210 or 212. So even if it was 190, that's still a huge discrepancy. And your Saints are worse off than any team in the NFL.
Thanks for reminding me.
Sorry about that. And they need a quarterback.
John, since we last spoke with you, the AFC South has welcomed Carson Wentz to the fold. What do you think in terms of the deal that Indianapolis has made, and what do you think working or being reunited with Frank Reich can mean to the former MVP candidate?
Everybody loves Frank Reich, but he's won one playoff game in 4 years, and he's had a different quarterback every year. It wasn't his fault Andrew Luck retired. Then they gave Jacoby Brissett a new contract. That didn't work out. They signed Phillip Rivers. He's surprised by retiring. Now they make the trade for Wentz. And it could be a one, even if it does go up to a one and a three, that's a good deal for a starting quarterback. Wentz had one bad year last season. And there was a report he and Doug Peterson and the coach didn't communicate for 10 weeks. That's not a good situation, as you guys know. So I think it's certainly worth the risk. The Colts have a lot of salary cap money. They still got their number one pick this year. Chris Ballard may be the best GM in the NFL, and he proves it time and again. Now they just got to win more in the playoffs.
Interesting to see that the president of the Players Association is encouraging the ranks to collude with one another and just share information with what will be a lower salary cap, what might be mass cuts for veteran players so teams can get under the cap, teams like the Saints and others that find themselves behind the eight ball. What do you think in terms of such a public approach to say, hey, play as hard a ball as you can? I still wonder if somebody's got a chance to get a job, if they'll pass on that opportunity to quote-unquote collude. What do you think?
I don't see agents colluding with each other. I just don't. And because they're all so territorial and they're always worried about losing their clients. And, you know, Tom Condon, who's the best one of the best out there, he's not going to collude with another agent. He doesn't need to. Some of the lower-level agents may need to. I was just surprised. DeMarre Smith said that in his Zoom call with the agents, that ordinarily that meeting would be, there's two a year, and the first one is the big one at the Combine. So that's the one that took its place, and then it got out that that's what he said. He encouraged collusion. Well, collusion is illegal. And so I think I'd be very careful about encouraging something that could turn out to backfire. Remember, baseball was charged with collusion 1 year by the union, and they lost, and they had to pay millions and millions of dollars.
John, we always appreciate your time. Thank you so much. You mentioned one of the things you're working on. What else have you been working on this week?
John and Jimmy, I've been working on podcasts and columns and a mailbag. It's on our sports website, Texas Sports Nation. I appreciate you guys letting promote it. Have a great weekend. I look forward to talking to you next week.
All right. Thanks, safe travels, John.
Thank you. Thank you.
John McClain of the Houston Chronicle joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.